Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good
all the time.
And we also know, hold to and believe. I say this every Sunday. I hope you never get tired of it because it's the truth that Jesus Christ has called his church. And in calling his church, he has given us three commands: to love God, love others, and go. And in those three commands, all of the scriptures are wrapped up from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, and we hold to the teachings therein. For the word of God is the testimony of our lives. It is the authority unto life, unto all peoples, whether you believe in Jesus Christ or not. It is the authority of life that gives us the graces and mercies to know him and to be saved. And God's children all say,
amen.
Today, we're going to be talking about life in the Spirit because this is Pentecost Sunday. That's why everything's red up front here. I even wore a red shirt. Somewhat. Yeah, I didn't have a red, so I had to wear mauve. It's red if you're a man. Anyhow, turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Because we're going to read about what happened on that great and fateful day when the Holy Spirit came. I'm sure you've heard this scripture many times if you've been in the church at all, because it's probably spoken every Pentecost Sunday. And normally I don't do this, but I figured, you know what? I'm doing this because I want to start here. Because life in the Spirit starts where? From the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came to the church on this day. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Why, are not all of those who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that each hear from them in our own language to which we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Pygira and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them in our own tongues speaking of the mighty deeds of God." And they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others were mocking and saying they were full of sweet wine. But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, "Men of Judea and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only in the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth my Spirit on all mankind. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. As I look at these words and I understand what they mean to us, I must look at this and say to myself that we are living in this very day. Just as it began at the day of Pentecost, we are still in the season of Pentecost because we are still living in the day of the church. As the church was given birth on that day through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are still here. This is our time, but it is drawing short. How many of you agree with that? We are getting closer and closer to the day of the Lord's appearing. Paul knew that way back at the beginning. As he approached the end of his life and the end of his ministry, he said, we are far closer today than we were when we first begun. And I don't know about you, but I feel that coming in my own life. It comes to us in a varying set of degrees. Because we all know that none of us get out of here alive until the rapture. Then there's going to be a bunch of us that are going to go. Can I get an amen? But there is an end coming. But before that end comes, we need to understand that here we are seeing the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, and that's what it tells us in verse 17, that I shall pour forth my Spirit on all mankind. And that is what God has been doing since the time of the beginning of the church, since that first Pentecost. And we are now some 2,000 years later. And we are still receiving the pouring out of the Spirit. Why is God taking so long? Well, we need to remember something. Our God is long-suffering. How many can say amen to that? Because if he were not long-suffering, he would not tolerate you. He would not tolerate me. It would all have been over when Jesus crawled off the cross, and that would have been the end. But God said, no, there are many more to come. And in that, he sent his Holy Spirit, that we may be able to choose him and live a new life. Now, how many of you like your new life? I want you to think about that because it's been tough, hasn't it? You know, I get told oftentimes that, you just needed an easy way out. I'm going to tell you right now, becoming a Christian was one of the hardest things I ever had to do because becoming a Christian meant I had to get rid of all the things that I was before. I had to let them go. I had to walk away from them. Before I became a Christian, I had a large number of friends. And I found out they really weren't friends at all. Because as soon as I became a Christian, I didn't have to remove them. Most of them removed themselves because they could not stand to be in my presence as I would witness to the Lord. And, you know, I think it's an amazing thing because, you know, I hear Brother Mitch, I'm bothered by this. I got to move this microphone.
Sorry.
That's okay. I'm just, it needs to point that way. I'm being anal today. But it just so amazes me because, you know, when I think of the friends that I had and all the things that went on and where I went in life. As I began to evangelize, as I said, when I first became a Christian, man, all I wanted to do was talk about Jesus to everybody. And I remember my in-laws and my wife, okay? Please remember, Lynn was not a Christian at that time yet either. I had come to Christ, and through that, Lynn came to Christ a short time after. And so her family was like, oh, no, don't worry. He's just gone through a fad. Well, it hasn't ended. It's not like bell-bottom jeans. You know, you go buy 5 pair, and at the end of it, you throw them away, right? No, I have not thrown the Lord away. The Lord has been good to me. How many of you can say that? Please do. The Lord has been good to me. And in that, that's where we live. And why is he good to us? Because he gave us the Holy Spirit to move us along. If it were not for the Holy Spirit, how easy would it be to do the things that you have had to do in your life? I want you to think about the things that you've given up, the things that have changed in you, and how God has led you through them. What happened? And that's what I really want to talk about today, because that life in the Spirit begins with something that I think is one of the most amazing things that the Scripture talks about. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Titus, to the book of Titus. It's back a few chapters from where we are, and it's after Timothy. and Thessalonians, and it's not many chapters at all. In fact, Titus is only three chapters, and we're going to be in chapter 3. So turn in your Bibles with me, if you would, to Titus, and we're going to be in chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 4 through 8. We're going to read verses 4 through 8. And I love the way Titus writes this, because he's literally speaking to us today, looking at where we are and what has come. From verse 4 in the book of Titus, in the third chapter, the word tells us, "But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy statement concerning these things. I want you to speak confidently so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men." When I think about what life in the Spirit means, it means God has cleansed us. God has washed us with a regeneration and a renewing that is by the Holy Spirit. You and I have literally been washed over by God himself through the blood of Jesus Christ, that we are no longer the same as we were. How many of you, when you are out there and you're working and you're going through your day and you stink because you've been all sweated, you know, we all love that smell, right? Amen? Yeah, I didn't get one amen out of that one. I was going to see how many people slipped up. So we go take a bath, don't we? Because we stinketh. That's exactly what God did. He gave us a holy bath. Now, a lot of people are going to say, yeah, oh, well, I was baptized. I'm not talking about the one that the preacher did that got you wet. I'm talking about another baptism. I'm talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, can the two be the same? Yes, in some instances they are the same, because it is at that time of baptism when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, because that's your declaration of faith, that's your declaration of belief. But for others of us, I was baptized at the age of 8. Some big tall guy I thought was God. I'm not kidding you, I did. I thought he was God. I mean, the man stood like 7 feet tall. Of course, when you're 6 years old, every adult looks 7 feet tall. And he had this pitcher of water, and he poured it in his hand, and then he sprinkled it on my head. Yeah, I was sprinkled. I wasn't dunked. Okay? And I was baptized. Well, what did that mean? He made me wet, Miss Susan. Not even as wet as you'd get when you take a bath. But it was not until I was 32 years old and 20 feet up in a tree that I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I don't know if I've told many of you about that. On that day, I'll never forget it, we had a prayer vigil going at church, and you could sign up for an hour of time. I had never prayed for an hour in my life. How many of you are one of those Christians? You pray for 5 minutes and you're done, right? Everything in your life is done in 5 minutes. I started praying. I'm 20 feet up. I hung up my bow. I hung up my stuff. And I'm sitting there. I said, Lord, I don't know how this is going to go. I've never prayed for this long. I'm going to try. And I just bowed my head 20 feet up in a tree. And I don't know when it started, but I know how it started. I just gave my heart to the Lord. And the next thing I knew, I'm in tears. Tears were just flooding my face. and I could feel the weight of all my sin. And it was horrible. And I'll never forget what the Holy Spirit did, because he just spoke to me in my spirit and he said, come with me. And I didn't know what he meant. And I just said, okay. And this is not a lie, this is the truth. For your young men shall dream dreams and your old men shall see visions. He took me to Jerusalem. And I saw the crucifixion. Oh my God. I could smell it. I could hear it. I had the taste of the air. It was dry. It was sandy. And I'll never forget what I saw. When I was done at the end, after he had shown me the crucifixion and I watched the whole thing, I just said, why? I deserve that. I deserve that. Why? I had an old baker tree stand. If you know what a baker tree stand is, it's a piece of plywood. My platform was soaked from my tears. When I finished that prayer, and he brought me back to my senses to show me what my Lord had given me, I looked at my watch. An hour and 45 minutes had passed. And all I could do was climb out of that tree. I couldn't hunt anymore. And I said, Lord, you gave me all this life, and it cost you that. And that was the day I dedicated my life to the Lord. Again, I did it when I was 18. And I'll never forget what he told me. He said, from this day forward, I will be your God. I will be your provision. I will be your protection. I will be. And he sat me down. I laid on the ground. I literally laid on the ground. This is why the mountain means so much to me, God. I laid on the ground, prostrate before the Lord, and for the next, I don't know how long, he just poured out who he was going to be in my life. And I want you to know the Spirit of God wants to be your all in all. He wants to wash you, cleanse you wholly with regeneration and renewal. And that doesn't happen just once. That happens every day. Every day you walk with him, every moment you submit to him, he is washing and regenerating and renewing you, me, all of us who give ourselves to him. And he changes us moment by moment. God does not change us all at one time, because it would be too much for each and every one of us. Think about it. What would your life look like? Who would you be if he took everything all at once? We would have no base. We would have no basis. But he does it slowly to show us that we can trust him, that we can love him, and that we can walk with him in that sanctification and justification that he is bringing into our lives to get us to that place where we are fully sanctified and fully justified. He already sees us that way because he sees us in eternity future. He's at the end waiting for us. But we have to work on it to get there. So that life in the Spirit is not something that's easy. It starts, and for some of us, it starts dramatic. You know, if you don't think that at that point in time, the pastor had an inkling that something was going to be changing in a big manner. I had no idea I was going to become a pastor. That didn't come for another 5 years. But at the age of 32, I knew something was happening. I'll never forget the first person I told what I just told all of you. And that first person was a gentleman by the name of Gary Bowman. He was the pastor of the church where I was ordained And he looked at me and he said, God's got something in store for you. He said, I don't know what it is, but I want to walk with you. Because whatever it is, it's going to change the world. And I look around and I see the change. How many folks are here today? How many folks are on vacation? How many folks are out in the highways and the byways? Yeah, we're down a few today. That's a normal Sunday, and it's dreary, and it's ugly, and it's cold. And it's like, well, yeah, I don't need to go to church today. I'm going to stay home where it's warm. I'll watch Pastor Rich from my coffee table and drink a cup of coffee. I don't have to get up. I can watch him in my PJs. And that's wonderful. I'm glad you're here. And I'm talking to all you folks out there on internet land. But I'm going to tell you there's something different that happens when we get together and we begin to talk about the Spirit. How many of you right now are looking at Pastor and saying, did that really happen? I will guarantee you with all of my life, yeah, it happened. And I cannot forget it. And I will not regret it. Because every time the Spirit moves in our lives, he is building into each and every one of us. Because what he did to me now has ripple onto you. Because I really believe that what I believe is really real. And when we walk in that truth, there is nothing that can defeat us. I don't care if cancer comes into your life. We all know we're checking out somehow. The reality is God is holy forever, no matter what comes. No matter what creeps up in our life, our great God is there. And he will deliver us. We need to remember it's on his grounds, not on our demands. But the Holy Spirit wants to walk with us, wash us, to change us. In 1 Corinthians 6 and 11, it says, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. That washing not only renews us, not only regenerates us, it sanctifies us and it justifies us. It is the full cleansing power of God Almighty. And from there, now we can go on and begin to live a new life. That the things of the past don't have anything on us anymore. There is no more catch, no more hook. There's nothing there from the past to hold you back. Forget that stuff. Walk away from it. Don't give it power over you. And believe the truth that you are a new creation in Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen out of the church? Because as we walk and have our being in the Lord, we are fresh and new each and every day, just as Jesus Christ is fresh and new each and every day. Now, I don't know about you, but at the age of 63, sometimes I don't just feel like I'm fresh and new. But I have a fresh and a new day. I have a fresh and a new spirit every day. And every day I get the opportunity to do better than I did the day before. And it's in that that I charge into the day and I run smack into it. How many of you feel like that sometimes? You get up in the morning, you feel great, and the next thing you know, you think you're in a train wreck. That's okay. You're on the right path because you're right where God wants you to be at this moment. He has it under control. Trust him. Walk with him. Let him be the deliverer of our lives. Because that washing, that regeneration has even far more yet to do. Turn in your Bibles. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Remember, Peter's the one who spoke that very first thing unto everyone on the day of Pentecost. He was the first pastor to literally speak a word, an utterance in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ unto the peoples. The first sermon, you just heard a portion of it. And today he speaks to us yet again from 1 Peter chapter 3. We read these words from the book of 1 Peter. from verse 13. Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. But sanctify Christ in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. For it is better, if God should will it, that you suffer for doing what is right rather than for doing what is wrong. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which also we went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison, who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept warning in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is eight persons, were brought safely through the water. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers and been subjected to him. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For the time already past is sufficient for you who have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensual lusts, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excesses, of dissipation, and they malign you. But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For the gospel has for this purpose been preached even to those who are dead, that though they are judged in the flesh as men, they may live in the Spirit according to the will of God. The end of all things is near, therefore be sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in the service of one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. And amen. Now that's a lot to read. But how many of you just read in there with me, life in the Spirit? This is what it means. You are going to go through a time of separation. You are going to go through these times of acknowledgement of God, because it is by his grace we are saved, not by our merits. Can I get an amen? And it is through the receiving and the believing of Jesus Christ that we are then baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. And in that Holy Spirit, he is going to guide us into all things. And we are to love one another fully. Not to love one another as the world loves, but to love one another as God loves. Can I get an amen? Because in that means we speak the truth into each and every situation. And that means we rebuke people because they're doing things that are not right or just. In that, it means that we acknowledge when someone has done good and we appreciate them and we love them in accord to who they are and what they are doing by the power of God. Because we know that through our own merits, we would be sinning left and right. But through the grace of God and the power of His Holy Spirit, we have been redeemed. We have been reconciled. We have been renewed. We have been sanctified. We have been justified. And we walk as a new creature in Christ Jesus. Every day is a new day in our Lord. And we are to remember in that day to love one another and to use the gifts that God has given each and every one of us to do good, not to do evil. To speak well, not to speak evil. And to be men and women of faith. Today I challenge you, as we look at where we are and where we have to go and just how far it is to get there, to truly be those once-born Christians. Because I know the way I was when I first came to Christ. I could not stop speaking about Him. What happened? Life happened. People happened. But every day the Lord meets me, the Lord greets me, the Lord gives me the strength to continue and to walk and to be. And that's what I want you to remember. You're going to make some difficult choices, okay? Brother Bob canceled our participation yesterday in the thingy here in Jonestown. And I told you this morning, what, Bob? Good choice. Because we'd have had people standing out there for hours upon end in that cold and miserable Sunday or Saturday, and it would have been a horrible, horrible day. Would we have met people and could we have? Yes. Yes, we could. Yes, we could. But Bob thought more of all of us than he thought of what could be. And I love you for that, because you thought well, and I applaud you. Now, there are going to be those who are going to say, yeah, but oh, yeah, we should have been there. No, no, folks. When Brother Mitch goes to deliver scriptures, okay, to hand out scriptures, when we go on our prayer walks, we offer a gift. If they don't receive it, we don't force it on them, okay? We're not those Bible thumpers, all right? We have a free gift for anybody that wants to receive it. So we use our gifts to reach people. And who do we reach them with? The power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in each and every one of you. And I'm going to tell you right now, you have no idea what God is going to do through you until you let God in you out. And that's the truth. All of us in this room, every one of us, has God in here. But how many of us are willing to let Him out? At any time, all the time. And poor Miss Susan, I look at her when I say things and I think, does she wonder I mean this just for her? That's the way my brain works. No, I don't, but I want her to know she's included in this. So I look at everybody. I look into the camera because I want you out there on internet land to know God loves you. The Holy Spirit is here. This is Pentecost Sunday. This is the remembering of the coming of the Holy Spirit, the birth of the church. Let us be the church. Let us live as good people. Let us hold to the things that are true. Let us cast out the things that are evil and of sin. And let us walk with perseverance the race that lays out before us, that we may achieve the goal, the prize of heaven, which God has called us to. Can I get an amen? Pray with me, dear church. Father God, life in the Spirit is not going to be easy for any one of us because we cannot do it by ourselves. We need your regenerative power. We need your sanctification. We need your justification. And Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, we need your direction that we may know where to go, what to do, and how to speak. So, Lord, I pray that you would use your Holy Spirit to get a hold of each and every one of our hearts, that just as they spoke in tongues on that great and fateful day, we would use our tongue to speak to those who are around us. and just be the lovers of God that we are meant to be. Lord, I thank you for every person that is hearing this word today. And if there's anyone here this day that wishes to have their life changed, to know you, to walk in you, I pray that they would receive you this day, right now, and simply ask, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I give you my life, and I pray that your sanctifying grace comes over me. Baptize me in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and bring forth your praise in me, that I may praise you, because Lord God, in that we find life. Thank you, Father, for those who have prayed. Thank you, Father, for those who have received. Thank you, Father, for thine Holy Spirit, in whom we live this day and forevermore. And the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.